Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. If you listen on 104.6 FM in the Auckland area or on planetaudio.org.nz, I hope you really enjoyed the show today. Anyway, before we go any further, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland Central Business District. They have a selection of local, craft and international draft beers on taps. They have a good selection of bottle beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Saturday night. So make Father Ted's your location to go to, especially before the match. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, Fortress Eden Park is now under pressure again, and of course it is the Bettislow. It's been 1903 was the first Bettislow Cup game, and I have to say, wow, there's a lot of history. Here to join us is a man that's played many Bettislow Cup games and also one of our great All Blacks, and he hasn't paid me to say that, former All Black AJ Whitten. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Piggy. And look, it was a good morning with the sun shining. She's just got a bit overcast. But it doesn't matter. Big day today out at the park. Keep the record intact. What's going to happen after the embarrassing loss in Wellington against the Springboks? So, yeah, a lot happening on this Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, he's made a few changes, a few enforced, but it's great to see Scott Barrett is being confirmed as injured, so Artie Sevier takes over the captaincy. Big Fabian Holland gets the start, and he's had a real good season for the All Blacks. Cam Roygaard's back. Cody Taylor, a big plus for the All Blacks in that pack.
Yeah, look, there was some that were forced by injury. We don't know what Scotty Barrett's got off his shoulder or something, so hope he has a speedy recovery. But yeah, look, some changes were inevitable. I'd say they've got Clark Caleb. He's had a bit of an indifferent season, hasn't he, in and out?
Yeah.
Bit of injury with Auckland not firing and helping his cause, but obviously they've picked him for his aerial skills. It's been a good ground for him at Eden Park in the black jersey, so I hope it works out for him. Nothing made major changes in the back line apart from Cam Roygaard, and he will certainly give them some go forward. But good to see they've kept their loose forward trio, trying to make some consistency. Big day for Parker on the blind side. But Fabian Holland, yeah, he'll be ready to go. And as you said, Cody Taylor is really the big plus for the All Blacks with his leadership, his skills. So he will certainly bring that to the party, and hopefully they can come out on top and keep that record intact.
Absolutely, and of course Australia, they've made a number of changes. James O'Connor had the flight back from England. He'll be running the cutter today for the Wallabies. The Wallabies, we just have to be, their back line, it's exciting. And their loose forwards are very, very good. So to me, I think this one is still a close one to call, AJ.
Yeah, it will be, but I guess we'll see with the pressure. I know Joe Schmidt, obviously, he's been playing it very low-key. Look, they've done better than we've all expected, which has been great. Not only great for Australian rugby, but good for world rugby to see Australia being competitive. Can they take that into this match and express themselves and hopefully have enough ball to have that latitude? As you mentioned, in the back three, they've lost, obviously, Callaway, but boy, they've been exciting in the backs here, especially with the centre, Sui Ali. So they've got to watch him. He can break the line. Ikatau outside of O'Connor with all that experience with McDermott playing his 50th. So look, they've got a lot to be happy about in their camp. Going in as the underdogs, but not by a lot, as in the past. You mentioned the loose forwards led by Harry Wilson. Frost has gone into the second row. And let's compliment Slipper, playing 150th test match for his country. Outstanding. And his leadership will be vital today. They're going to need some things to go their way. But listen, look, they're going to have a crack. That's what I like about them, Piggy. And we're going to see them attack from, you know, maybe 50, 60 metres out. So, let's see how they can get enough ball to create some issues for the All Blacks. But, it's just made it a lot more intriguing, and I'm looking forward to it.
some I made it. I think it's going to be a great one. Anyway, there's also a match tomorrow in South Africa. South Africa versus Argentina. Rossi's just made two changes, just in four, Argentina three. I think South Africa at home and that confidence boosting win over the All Blacks, I just think they're just going to be too good for the Pumas.
Well, we've always said this at home. Very rarely did the South Africans lose, and then we saw the Argentinians, do the All Blacks, and then the Argies had put pressure on them in the past. The Aussies went over and beat them on home soil and could have beaten them twice. So, that aura of invincibility is not quite there. It'll be a tough ask, especially after giving the All Blacks a hiding. So, two changes only. So, he's sticking to a tried and true combo. I said, Etzbet's come in, and Lordy de Jugeur is injured. But, I'm with you. You never know quite what to expect with with Argentina, but they'll give it a go. Matera is absolutely vital, Pablo, with them. If he's going really well, he'll take a lot with him. But, 10, 12 points. At least, I think, to the South Africans.
Absolutely. So we move on to the Bunnings NPC. And, of course, Thursday night, well, doesn't get any better for Auckland. Hawke's Bay 45, Auckland 28. Whanatau Whakatāwhā was brilliant. Really impressed with Devon Flanders. Heard some interesting story about Devon Flanders, where his next location could be, but we can say no more. But to me, you know, Hawke's Bay are just proving that they play a great brand of rugby.
Oh, well, you know, they got towed up the week before, so playing at home, they're always going to be difficult, especially where the season has been for Auckland and where it's going, and again, disappointing. Look, we know they're a young team, Auckland, but you can only play in that for so long, and the game they're playing is a risk and reward. The risks just aren't working out. Oh, look, they scored 28 points. You can applaud that, but you don't give up 45. So, you know, that's where the issue is. Defence was the key. They had a bit of ball. Set pieces weren't too bad, but just the tackling, just not good enough at this level. That's the biggest thing I noted. And some pretty mediocre tackles too from some pretty high individuals on the pitch. So listen, the skipper led from the front as usual, but he's only one person. And as you're playing a very experienced Hawke's Bay team, you know, you've got Parsons, the skipper there, Walker, Lemuri being around, Goulton playing in the front row. You mentioned Whakatāwhā. He was on fire with McClutchie. They're a tried and true combination. And they just orchestrated the match from there. So Auckland were always going to be on the back foot. And the scorelines just proves the point that it's just not their season again. And back to the drawing board. And what comes out of it? Well, we're going to see in 2026.
Well, there may be a call from myself to certain people at Auckland Rugby, which they will try and avoid. Well, I don't think they will. Anyway, we move on. Tasman 55, Southland 38. Tasman are ahead 41-6 at half time, 41-7. And when you look at them, it was a fantastic first half display. Southland came back, grabbed a few points, but Tasman, they're still that threat in this NPC.
Yeah, no, they've moved themselves right up into the top of the table. Not the top of the table there, comfortably. Look, they'll be there, thereabouts. But as I say, you thought of 41-7, Harding was on the cards. And Paul Southam, they had a good start to the season, Peggy, but they've certainly fallen off the horse a bit. But they showed some guts. They came back 5-2 in the second half. So the boy Manson getting a hat-trick, well done to him. But the supporters would have been disappointed, expecting a lot more from that Southland side. So Marco just showing where they are. Havili brothers again, just creating all sorts of trouble for Southland Stags. But the season has been a pass for them. But they're going to be out of that top eight. So disappointing for them. But the Marco, well, they seem to be back on the right track.
Anyway, early start this Saturday, 1:05 at Forsyth Barr Stadium. The Ramfurly Shield, Otago versus North Harbour. Now, I have received since that result last week a whole lot of absolute crap from Otago fans, one especially who's coming at the end of the show, Mr. Piper. But I will say this, they were fantastic last week. This guy, Lucas Casey, how did the Blues let him go? Because he signed for the Highlanders, but I think far too good for North Harbour.
Oh, you'd think so, but this competition has thrown up some real surprise. And this is what makes the Bunnings Cup NPC one of the best local competitions domestic around the world. And I'll say that right here on your radio stage. The Shield's changed four times this year. Can it change for a fifth? North Harbour, they've only got Pride to play for, still haven't conjured up a win. How the hell they missed out last week against Northern, I don't know. But this could make their season. So watch out. There'll be some fireworks. They'll come out breathing. They're going to give it a crack. They'll throw everything at them, the kitchen sink, the grandmother's car, the baking. I don't know. But this could make their season, Piggy. So watch out, Otago. But you have mentioned, I said they've just made the one change, and of course Gilbert comes back at fullback. But this boy, Casey, what a find. We always seem to throw something up in this competition. What a find. An all-rounder. Got pace, reads the game well. It's exciting to watch Otago. I see Leo Willis back at eight there and Stoddard. So what a great loose forward combination. And that's why they are second in the competition. Watch out for them. They are a very good side and chance their arm. And they proved that to Canterbury. Great match. And let's see if they can hold on to the Shield. I'm predicting
it. Yeah, and they'll keep it for the summer down in Dunedin. Anyway, then we also have 2:05 game, Taranaki versus Wellington. Well, Wellington are the defending champions. I think the title reign comes to an end today. I think Taranaki just too good.
They've been in up and down, haven't they, Wellington? Glimpses, but not consistent enough, and they've lost one or two at home. But Taranaki at home, good win last week. So, look, yeah, they're going to be too strong at home, and I see them picking up the points for this one.
And, of course, then we have a look at some of the other games for Sunday. Bay of Plenty versus Waikato in a bit of a Chiefs derby. Counties Manukau versus Manawatu, and, of course, Northland versus Canterbury, the first one. Bit of a Chiefs derby, but I think Bay of Plenty have just hit form at the right time.
Oh, yeah, they had a really big win over Manawatu, didn't they? I see Josh Barber's back in the front row, replacing Basilio, tossing up front. But listen, at home there, the Bay, too strong for Waikato, who are still in the hunt. And this is the beauty of the competition. You know, we write teams off, we don't write them off, but we think you're playing at home, you've got the edge, and then next minute the Waikato could tip up the Bay. It wouldn't surprise me, but I'll stick with the home team.
And then we move on, Counties Manukau versus Manawatu. Now, Counties Manukau, realistically, there's still a chance as well, too, to make the playoffs.
Well, this is, as I said, the competition. You've got five or six teams that are still dicing for that top eight. So it won't come to fruition until next week, and that's what you want in a competition. You do not know who the top eight will be. We do know there's a couple who've cemented their places in Canterbury, Otago, but the rest, you have to still win one or two games. So that's what we like about this competition. And again, Counties, after beating my blue and white last week quite convincingly at home to Manawatu, should be too strong. I see Satutu's out, but Papaletti's moved there into number eight. So again, too strong at home after their win over Auckland will give them a lot of confidence.
And you've got to give credit to Rion Graham as the coach of Counties Manukau. You know, they haven't got... They've got about four, maybe five premier teams to pick from. They don't pick outsiders. They say if you want to play for Counties, you play in Counties. That's something I like about this side. They're very traditional, AJ. Anyway, moving on, Northland versus Canterbury. Canterbury's made a number of changes, AJ, which, and I'm looking, going, well, 12 changes. I think this one you have to give it to Northland. I think Northland could on Sunday secure their position in for the playoffs, and well deserved if they do get it.
I tell you what, I saw the 12 changes they've made. And that's quite a lot coming up. Maybe they're looking at the semi-finals or giving players a rest before they play their last home match. But I, you know what, I'm with you on this, Peggy. We're not very open. But as I say, you're maybe not taking them, giving them the respect they deserve. They love playing at home there. They've been playing some really good footy at Northland when they get it right. They train at fullback. Obviously, it got some attacking flair for them. But Ray Hanna and Renton, very tried and true. You've got Rush, who's been a menace all season, and you'll face a good solid front row with Hutchings and Hookadere and Apua. So, I'm going to give it to Northland over the Cantabrians because there's a lot of changes, and I think this game's really there for them to prove themselves to get into that top eight.
I think so too, and I think, you know, I'll probably have Stephen Harris probably remind me it later on Sunday evening, asking me what was the score again, knowing that he's doing the commentary for it. Anyway, obviously, big day for you, AJ. You'll be going round, you'll be wined and dined, entertaining people, telling them a few old stories.
Correct. Yep, no, same old for me. I'll be there, courtesy of Rico. I'll be going and catching up with Haroon and Mike and them and some of their punters, which is great, because they're mad on rugby. They're mad. They love, there's people out there who just love rugby, love the All Blacks, so I've got the passion. I'll catch up with someone else who's joined us, of course. It's Balu. He's got a barbecue at his house. He wanted me to come round, but I said...
Oh, Balu.
There's only three people attending because he's not that popular. So I said,
He never has been, Barlow. He's a bit of he's a bit of a Burke at times. We can't insult him. He's actually not a bad bloke. He's okay in small doses, isn't he? I hope you listen there, Barlow.
He always tunes into the show with Kent and Little, and Pudding and Tigger and Birdie May and Marlowe. They're all there. And so Barlow's there with the lads. He's got about a dozen going around, putting a barbie on. So they'll be listening this morning. I think they've started already, mate. So sadly, I don't know if you got the call up. But anyway, you might...
I'm very busy. I've got to go out to a party. So I get invited to parties, AJ, because people like to see me, mate.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll probably put you on stilts or something. But anyway,
here we go.
Have some fun. Let's watch the footy and go the All Blacks, as we say, mate.
Absolutely, AJ. Well, you have a fantastic weekend. We'll catch up next Saturday, mate. Cheers.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Cheers. Bye. AJ Wetton, brilliant. Okay, so next up we're going to talk a bit of the rugby, Women's Rugby World Cup and the Farah Palmer Cup Premiership semi-finals with Stephen Harris. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and a big shout out to Force Electrical. I can tell you something about them. Force Electrical they are very prompt, they're professional, available to complete any job within a week. A small company who keeps its prices down, they're competitive, and they're there to help you with any electrical needs. So give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021-628-341, or you can email nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Okay, so we come to the final of the Women's Rugby World Cup, and of course, before before that, we have a third and fourth playoff between the Black Ferns and France. And here to join us, as he does every Saturday, Stephen Harris. Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, good morning, Amon. Good morning to your listeners. And once again, always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore to be on your show.
Now, I've got a wee bone of contention to pick with you. A certain photo you put up on my Facebook page when I was trying to, you know, advertise the show. Oh, by the way, just to let people know that we're looking to enter a podcast. I'm just trying to get the station to enter me in a podcast award, and it might need listeners. So vote Piggy, vote often. That's what I say. But anyway, but I won't mention who the individual is, but there was a bit of laughter. A lot of people had a wee laugh at my expense. I didn't expect it from you, Stephen, but we still remain friends. Anyway, we must move on. Blackburn.
Yes, I do apologize. I just thought there was a slight resemblance, but just remember, these are only allegations. you wanted to swear there, but I'll let you leave you.
Yeah, thank goodness. You know, we get enough. We dice with BSAs every Saturday on this show. Anyway, let's get on with it. Black Ferns versus France. How, Georgia Miller's back. How do you get up for a third and fourth playoff? It is, you know, it's demoralising. I think all you want to do is go home, but Georgia Miller's back for the Black Ferns. That'll add something. The Black Ferns have to win this to assemble some sort of pride out of this, not only for them as a team, but for women's rugby in this country.
Yeah, well, I suppose the good news for the Black Ferns is France is in exactly the same boat. So there's two teams that'll probably want to go out. That'll probably want to go out and just basically entertain everybody. And I see the TAB odds are have got New Zealand as a favourite, around about $1.27 to $3.50. I see the weather in London is going to be mostly cloudy for this game, which kicks off at 11:30 tonight. So it might be just an opportunity for both these two teams to go out and play an open game of rugby. And if that's the case, I think you give the advantage to the Black Ferns. Interestingly enough, I did a little bit of homework and just looked back at the last two occasions that these teams have actually played. They played back in 2023 in the WXXV. That was, I think, that was played maybe in New Zealand. I think,
yeah, it was.
May have been, it was in New Zealand, and of course, France took the win 18-17. But more in recent times, they met last year in the corresponding tournament. Now that was in, I think that might have been in the US or Canada.
No, Canada.
It was in Canada last year, and New Zealand prevailed 39-14. Listen, I'm probably going to go with my heart a little bit. I think the Black Ferns will get the job done. I think they'll want to give this ball a little bit of air, you know. And of course, that's the way that they play. I think just probably before we sign off, I just think maybe what this Black Ferns needs, I think we just need more games against the opposition, the likes of France and England and Canada. So more games, please. That's the only way the side's going to get better.
Yeah, possibly. I also think that we've got to be realistic to the fact that some of our top women's rugby players, their pathway to the professional game probably isn't in Super Rugby are picky. I think it's in Europe, and there has to be a rule round whether, for the sake of the Black Ferns, whether they let these players, release these players, and on the proviso they're available for the Black Ferns.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept when it segues nicely into the final, which is being played.
Well,
on
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, this. Yes, England versus Canada. England have been the red-hot favourites. They had a few issues against France, but Canada were, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, my thing is I want to see Canada win it because I think they play some fantastic rugby. I think it would be great for women's rugby, especially in North America. And you know what? It's a fairy tale story, and it's like, wouldn't it be great for a team that has basically, you know, it's not a full professional team. And basically, what was it? You know, wouldn't that story be great? England are just all too powerful. I think England, my head says England, my heart says, oh, Canada, please win.
Absolutely. Listen, I thought the French exposed the English in some areas. You know, you think back to that game after about 53 minutes, it was 14-12. And credit to England, they reverted to the strength that they know, which is through their forwards. Listen, I think if Canada can basically compete at the set pieces, they are more than a chance. And we kind of forget, if you think back to that the previous Women's World Cup, back in 22, that semi final where they played against England, they were right in that game as well. That was about 1923, with 10 minutes to go, and it was really just a late penalty by Emily Skerritt that actually pushed it out to 26-19, which gave them the win. But once again, that game could have gone either way. So the question I ask myself: are Canada a better side than what they were 3 years ago? Heck yes. I think they're more than a chance, but boy, if England don't win it now, they'll never win it.
Well, yeah, it's all in their favour, you know, and, you know, we won it. And obviously John Mitchell wants his journey to end wants to have a happy ending to his journey.
Oh, absolutely, and we know he's had a few journeys.
Oh, yeah. Hey, anyway, we move on, and of course, we move on to the Farah Palmer Premiership semi-finals. By the way, congratulations to the Otago Spirit. Obviously, you know, they'll be up playing in the Farah Palmer Cup Premiership. You know, I think that's a real bit of pride. Good game against the Cowrie. I know that you'll probably be disappointed for the Cowrie a bit, but, you know, good on Otago.
I was going to say, yes, congratulations to Otago, but it also means that there has to be a team that has to drop down as well. So Hawke's Bay Tui will drop down to the Championship Division. Not a bad thing, you know. Sometimes when you've got to rebuild, I think when you're up against opposition that's more around your quality, I think there's more, you know, I think you're able to build some confidence back in your team and your union. And I think for Northland, I still think they might be a year away from progressing back into that top league again. They're missing a few key players this year, so hopefully those players are back next year. Let's hope they can maybe get Portia Woodman back playing for the Kauri next year, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I guess it's a day that's all about the Premiership semi-finals.
Absolutely, and of course we kick it off, Canterbury versus Manawatu. You know, Canterbury have probably been one of the form teams in this competition. Manawatu have really surprised us, and while I look at that Canterbury lineup, it's very strong. There's part of me that said, wouldn't it be good for the competition for someone like Manawatu to win this, to make a final?
Yeah, it would have to be a massive turnaround. These two teams met in round one. Canterbury far too strong, winning 44-5. But I think the Cyclones are a little bit more improved since those days, since those early rounds. God, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? I think Canterbury have just been travelling so well in this year's Farah Palmer Cup. I can't see them being beaten, to be brutally honest. And you know, the TAB, and I say bet responsibly, is looking the same way. They've got Canterbury at $1.20, Manawatu Cyclones at $4. I think the home side, Canterbury, playing at Rugby Park in Christchurch, will be far too strong.
Absolutely. And of course then we go to Waikato versus Auckland and the Auckland Storm. And you know, I'm actually, Auckland had that good win over the Counties Manukau Heat. Waikato have been fantastic this year. I look at this game and I don't think there's much between these two teams, and if anything, I'm backing an Auckland victory here.
Wow, that's a big call. Of course, these two met in round one, Auckland coming out on top 31-28 in a game that was played at Eden Park. This time, Waikato go in as favourites, $1.57, playing at home to Auckland Storm, $2.13. Once again, bet responsibly if you are going to have a dabble in that area. You could inevitably be right, because I'll tell you what, every time I've bet against Auckland this year, they've actually come up trumps. So, but on this, I can't help but go for the home side. I think that home ground advantage might be the difference. But I reckon it's one of those games. Would not surprise me if it went the other way.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think it's going to be a hell of a cracking game. And I think, I'm back in Auckland. I just feel we're going to have the traditionals in women's rugby, which has been Canterbury and Auckland. And it has been like that for a long time, even before we were looking at Farah Palmer Cup, Stephen.
Oh, very much so. But hey, it's been a really good competition this year.
I think it's been great.
Yeah, it's been, reasonably even. We've seen the odd blowout here and there, but listen, in the main, it's been really good footy. And let's not forget, next year we'll probably have many of the Black Ferns inserted back into this comp as well.
I think it'll be an even better competition. I think it's actually, I find it actually a lot better than Super Rugby Aupiki, which a lot. I probably will get people climbing on me about that, but I actually think it's more. We're going to have a professional competition. Let's make it Farah Palmer Cup, because I think it adds more tradition. It's more even, and I think it would really encourage a great fan base around it. Stephen, tonight, are you nervous, mate?
No, not really. Not as nervous as I was.
I'm talking about the rugby and not about dealing with me on Sunday.
Very good. That was very quick. No, I think the All Blacks hit back today. We always know that they bounce back after a loss, and I think they'll probably want to make up for that previous performance against the Springboks. So I think they bounce back.
Yeah, I think it'd be close. I think they just won, but yeah, I'm still got some questions here. I think Razor's under a bit of pressure here, but anyway, that's for others that have paid far above our pay grade, which is zero. Stephen, you have a good weekend. Obviously, you'll be calling the Taniwha. You'll be calling Northland versus Canterbury tomorrow.
Yep, certainly will be. With former North Harbour. Harbour assistant coach Sam Ward, so looking forward to catching up, and hopefully the Taniwha can get across the line over your mob. Should be a good contest.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a call tomorrow, man.
I'm sure you will either way.
You take care, mate. Cheers.
All the best, man.
Cheers, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic, good bloke. Just a hell of a good bloke. I always enjoy my Stevens, and we have a good laugh. Anyway, next up we speak to Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League.
And another thing I'm discovering lately, I'm a bit crazy for my rugby league team. Now the stage is set for the best season yet, you'll see. And you will hear me every week when I scream. That's
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and a big shout out to Douglas Drainage. Every problem has a solution. All solutions have a cost. Minimize the cost of information and technology, provided information with technology. So that's what Douglas Drainage do, that they can help you out with anything from, some drain line advice, looking at CCTV, also involving CCTVs, rock breaking equipment. That's what they can do at Douglas Drainage. Their number is 0274 838 737 or Diggins, diggin.co.nz. So make any inquiries if you're looking for a bit of drainage advice. Anyway, here to join us as he joins us every Saturday, Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. Good morning to you, Joey.
Yeah, good morning, mate. It's a beauty of a day for local footy, and it's already started with a cracker game.
Oh.
I don't know that there's going to be lots of quality footy to get through as the weekend expands as well.
Yeah, well, Storm 22, Sharks 14, Jerome Hughes. Obviously, he's going to be unavailable for the Kiwis. We already know that. He wants a premiership ring. And last night, he proved why he is one of the best scrum halves in the game.
Yeah, 100%. You could kind of tell, with the big forearm getting on his forearm that, he's definitely not at 100%. You could kind of see it in the way he was playing as though he wasn't digging into the line as he traditionally does or as any traditional halfback does. But the touches he did get on the ball were just quality and it seemed to come off every time. And he connected really well, obviously, with the likes of Cameron Munster. And the rest of that spine as well. I thought Stefano Utuakamanu was another one who really stood up as well. There was, I guess, the moment that epitomised it for me was just leading into Will Warbrick's first try, the carry that he took off the goal line dropout, then managed to get rid of Jesse Colquhoun. They shifted to the left, don't find success. They go to the right, Jerome Hughes gets his hands on the ball, and they find success with Will Warbrick. So they're going to be a class side heading into the next week. Yes, grand final day is a bigger arena to try and stand up in, but if there's any side who's going to be able to do it, it's going to be a Melbourne side.
Absolutely, and I think the big thing is that I think that Melbourne side is a really, really good side, and I think, when we have a look at it, it's like, I think we've just got to be so... I think Bellamy wants another premiership. He wants to prove how good they are. The Sharks gave it their best, but hell, the Storm are really, really on fire. But then we look at Saturday's game. Wow, Broncos versus Panthers. Well, guess what? Who is going to back the Broncos in this? Broncos are in brilliant form, but Panthers, who would back against them?
Yeah, this is going to be a really hard game to call. Probably two of the more informed sides at the moment. I don't mind the inclusion of Ezra Mam on the bench. I guess when you take a look at Brisbane, yes, they're missing Pat Carrigan, and I think that's kind of been a lot of chat that's been missed. Is yes, they welcome back Adam Reynolds and Ezra Mam, but Pat Carrigan through the middle of the field just gives that extra hand to Payne Harthouse, and especially with Carrigan missing, that those two usually carry a lot of the weight for that forward pack. So how they're going to go with Tyson Smoothie name to start at 13, whether they play some mind games an hour out from kickoff tomorrow and change the team up, I think if anyone's going to have to stand up and help take some of that load off Payne Harthouse, it's going to have to be someone like Xavier Willison coming off the bench. But when you look at that, it's his first game back in a while, and trying to get the best 30-40 minutes out of him. It's going to be a massive ask against the Penrith side, who's in a heck of a lot of good form at the moment. But if anyone's going to be able to get the best out of him, it's going to be a coach like Michael Maguire. Then you take a look at the Penrith side. Where do you start? They blew the Bulldogs off the park last week. They just completed really highly. Obviously, they went 20-for-20 completed sets last week. They applied lots of pressure to the Bulldogs. They just couldn't really seem to make it work. And there's lots of pressure on Brisbane at the moment. There's not a whole lot of pressure on Penrith at the moment from sitting in seventh. It's going to be a massive matchup, and there's so much riding on this game for either side as well. I guess any couch coaches would have a field day with the amount of conversations they could pull out of this game, and it's going to be one to watch, and it's no better time to see it on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, I just cannot see the Panthers being losing this one. A lot of people will be hoping for the Broncos. Imagine this, a Melbourne Storm Broncos final in Sydney. Who do you support? But, yeah, it's just a tough one. New South Wales Cup Grand Final, Warriors versus Dragons, a big one for the Warriors New South Wales Cup team.
Yeah, it's got to be a massive task tomorrow. They go up against the Dragons side who got the better of them 2 weeks ago, and not a whole lot of people who, I guess, have an interest in the New South Wales Cup would have seen that game coming. But when you looked at the team last week and you saw Jet Cleary move to the bench, you know, you would have probably questioned who they're bringing in. But then you bring in someone like Tanner Boyd, who was playing NRL football, NRL finals football at that, a week prior. And he was massive for them last week. Ali Laiatawa coming back from injury for his first game in that Warriors side as well, taking over Morgan Harper's spot. He added a touch of class as well. And they really got the platform laid for them from their four-pack. You know, once you add in Bunty R4, Tanner Stowers-Smith came back and played New South Wales Cup, Eddie Irimia. A lot of these guys who have been playing NRL football for a large chunk of the season, coming back into reserve grade, filling in for the side. When you've got someone like Tom Ali sitting on the bench as well, you know, it just shows the amount of quality that the Warriors reserve grade have to pick at the moment. But the Dragons side are going to be a tough side to stop, rather. We saw, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, they got the better of the Warriors. They've got guys in there like Lachlan Ilias and Jonah Glover who have been outstanding for them, and have largely been the halves combination for the side for, you know, a large chunk of the New South Wales Cup season. So they've got that connection, whereas the Warriors have been kind of mixing and matching the last few weeks. They've got Cody Ramsey at fullback who, you know, 12 months ago, he didn't even know if he was going to play rugby league again. So it's a credit to him to see him coming back. You've got Ray Faitala Mariner in the side, Blake Laurie, you know, experienced first graders who have played 100-plus games, you know, the Dragons. So it's going to be a tough side to stop, and it's going to actually be a really good game to watch as well. There's lots of good football to still be had this weekend, but I think the Warriors, if they play anything like they did last week, Tanner Boyd was massive for them, and I think if he can have a showcase like he did last week against Parramatta, then I think the Warriors should be coming home with the premiership tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely. And then we move on to the National Men's Premiership. Counties Manukau versus Waikato. Auckland Vulcans versus Bay of Plenty. Well, I think Counties Manukau just too good for Waikato.
Yeah, exactly right. Waikato took a pretty heavy loss for the Vulcans last week down in Huntly. You know, the Vulcans wanted to bounce back after the loss they took to Counties Manukau, and they did in a big way. So Waikato were just wanting to be trying to find their feet again, because obviously they haven't managed to get a win on the board, or they got a win over the board early on against Bay of Plenty, but haven't quite found success against any of the big Auckland side. So it doesn't really get much easier for them this afternoon, but hopefully they can put up a bit of a bigger effort. The Vulcans against Bay of Plenty, like I said, obviously the Vulcans bounced back massively against the Waikato side last weekend. No doubt they'll be looking to do a similar job against Bay of Plenty this afternoon, in the hopes that if counties do slip up in the next couple of weeks, they still have a chance of playing finals football. So massive opportunity on this afternoon for the Vulcans lads, but no doubt they'll be too strong for Bay of Plenty and get the job done.
Absolutely. And then we move on to the Women's Premiership, and of course we have Akarana and a bit of an Auckland derby, Akarana versus the Auckland Vulcans, Canterbury Bulls versus Counties Manukau, and Waikato versus Wellington. Well, that first one, a bit of an Auckland derby there.
Yeah, I guess everyone loves a bit of a local derby when it comes to Premiership football. Kicking off in just over half an hour, Akarana Falcons taking on the Vulcans. Ladies, the Vulcans will just be wanting to try and finish this campaign on a high. They haven't had a whole lot of success against counties or against Canterbury as well, and what some would say was a bit of an upset. So they'll just be wanting to try find some success against Akarana this afternoon. Akarana have a very young side, a lot of girls who have played in the under 18 side for Akarana as well. So it's going to be a different challenge for the Vulcans this afternoon, but I think Akarana And I know a lot of people at NRL are probably going to hate me saying this, but I think Akarana might just be too strong.
Yep, I think Akarana are probably going to be too strong. Canterbury Bulls versus Counties Manukau. Canterbury Bulls, you cannot underestimate them, and they're playing at home.
Yeah, you can, like we saw when they played the Balkans ladies last week, you just can't underestimate any Canterbury side, whether it's in the men's premiership or the women's premiership. And they showed their class against the Balkans side, completely different beast against a strong Counties women's side. So it's going to be a tough task for them, but I think with the home ground advantage, I might give them a leg up, but I think Counties should still be just a bit too strong for the Canterbury Bulls.
And Waikato versus Wellington.
Yeah, look, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Like, Waikato have shown some glimpses of potential. I mean, the women's comp down there is starting to get a little bit stronger with the Tangi Whareau club back playing in the women's competition down there. But Wellington, we've seen them show some glimpses as well. So this is going to be interesting to see how they've taken the learnings from playing against the Auckland side, then once they front up against each other. I think Wellington's going to get the 2 points on this one.
Yeah, I think they probably will too. Anyway, Joey, what's the plans for the rest of the weekend, mate?
It's got Region of Origin finals today. So we had our girls finals last week in the under-13s and 14s. We've got the boys finals on today, the under-13s going on at the moment, and the under-14s kicking off at 11 o'clock. And, just basically waiting around for the rest of the NRL football, the New South Wales Cup boys tomorrow afternoon as well. So still a lot of football to watch through this weekend, but no doubt I'll spend a large chunk of the weekend thinking of players who might be in the Kiwi side come Pacific Champs.
Well, I think we need to name our side next week, and I hope Stacey listens to us.
Oh, 100%, because you look at some of those Pacific Island sides as well, there's going to be a lot of guys who, with the amount of guys coming in between New Zealand and Australia, there's going to be guys in those Pacific Island nations who might miss out. I mean, they're still handy players. And, you know, they might find themselves in a black and white jersey. So lots of players to choose from for Stacey Jones. And hopefully when we take a look at that next week, we can solidify some pretty good squads, and hopefully Stacey Jones can take some ideas from it.
Yeah, I think Stacey will definitely be listening to us, Joey. He likes us.
Can't wait to look through the club teams and see what we can come up with. And hopefully,
I wrote down something very quickly, and I think not a bad side, but it's just making sure of availability and everything like that. Anyway, I better leave you to it, mate, as we will catch up again next week. You better have your Kiwi. We'll look at our Kiwi side, and we will debate.
Yeah, looking forward to the black and white jersey debate next week, mate. Thanks again.
Cheers, man. Thanks a lot. That was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League. Next, we have Zion Dale from One News as we look at the week that was in sports.
Close your eyes.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Weekender. Anyway, this is a big shout-out to Watersmar. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait stash, and keep the wife's tomatoes happy. All with a Watersmart tanks. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz today and take control today. And I didn't, well, I semi-butchered it, and poor old Zion, who is usually has to listen to my monotone voice, probably will give me a rating out of 10. Please welcome from One News, Zion Dale.
Hello, mate. Good morning. How are you? Big weekend of sport.
Wow, what a big weekend. And we've had a big week of sport. And, of course, it started off on Sunday. We Liam Lawson qualified third for the F1 in Azerbaijan. And, of course, then finished fifth. But really a good drive by Liam Lawson.
I think we spoke about it on a couple of months ago, just before the F1 summer break. And Liam Lawson was there or thereabouts in the points. Towards the bottom of the top 10, and we, you know, we spoke about if he can have the summer break and really finish the back end strong, that would do wonders for him going into next season and a drive in next season, and he's done exactly that. A fantastic result in qualifying. Unfortunate to finish outside of the podium, but it just shows he can compete, and it was good to finally see everything that he's been through this year, a positive result. By his own, I guess, opinion, he wasn't too happy with finishing fifth because he knew that a podium place probably was there or thereabouts. But, I mean, finishing fifth, it definitely sends a warning sign to those higher up that he can compete with the best.
And, of course, next up is Singapore, which has always been quite a good track for Liam Lawson. Of course, then also the Silver Fern started the Tiny Jamison Trophy Series against South Africa, and it has one-sided as anything, 77-51, 70-58. But, you know, they're probably...
The drama's been all week. Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, you look at the netball results, but I mean that's probably secondary to what's been going on.
Yeah, well, your colleague Kate Wells has done a fantastic interview.
Brilliant job. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I look at this, and yep, okay. We're always expected to beat South Africa, and we know what a sensation Grace Nowicki is. She's probably one of the best netball players in the world. I don't know what we've gained out of it. I don't know if the existing coach moves on to the Consolation Cup. There is still this doubt.
Yeah, I think you mentioned what we gain out of it. I think any international game, you look at the Silver Ferns calendar and there aren't many games. You know, like, netball in a way also has to strengthen internationally. And I think, sure, New Zealand don't get a hell of a lot out of it, but you've got to think what the South Africans do, and it's only good for the sport going forward. You know, I think also it is, you know, instead of going straight into that Consolation Cup, they get game time. They give some players, you know, game time out on centre court, giving players an opportunity, giving them debuts. Because you also look at the atmosphere so far in both very full stadiums in Auckland and in Napier. So, you know, that all plays a part, the atmosphere. And I think whether you're coming up against Australia, South Africa, England, doesn't matter who it is, it's still an international game of netball. And for a lot of the younger players, inexperienced players, it's, you know, it will pay dividends when it comes to what's to come. But you talk about Grace Nowicki, and you watch her there, and all it is really, it's a simple game plan, isn't it? You just lob it up, throw it in the right place. Kimi Orapoi was doing a great job of that, and she can score goals. She's a huge asset to New Zealand, and very thankful that the eligibility rules have changed, because if they weren't, I mean, to miss out on a player like that, because of some eligibility rules, you know, it would have been tough. And she's really showing, you know, her worth and how good she really is. And, you know, I think I'd go close to saying she is the best player in the world at the moment.
And, of course, during the week, you know, this is, I think, it's a real sad story about, you know, a person that had such great potential. Clayton Lewis, he has been sentenced for match fixing. Clayton is a former All-White, a former Phoenix player, was playing for MacArthur. Obviously, admitted to taking a $10,000... $10,000 bet. I don't know, all for $10,000, and you just blow away everything. And I think, you know, there's a big lesson there. I've read some articles on this. Also read some articles that, you know, that there is some concern, even within our local game, of betting on betting syndicates around the world.
Yeah, and I think just going back to the Clayton Lewis situation, it's a real shame because he was a fantastic player.
He was a good player. He would have been in the World Cup squad.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just about to say that. When he was at the Phoenix, he was probably, to be fair, too good for the Phoenix, and perhaps why he moved on to MacArthur, to get more exposure. Maybe, you know, if things were to pan out how he was playing, you know, I think he could have got a deal over in Europe and Asia, or, you know, gone beyond the A-League, and was a really good player when he pulled on the All Whites jumper as well. And yeah, I think he would have been going to the World Cup as well. I mean, you know, that's hindsight. You would have just thought the way that when he stopped playing football due to these matters, he was in really top form, really good midfielder for New Zealand. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shame to see the talent go to waste. But I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, the decision's been made. He's chosen what he wanted to do. And yeah, obviously it hasn't worked out for him, but a real waste of talent, I would say. I thought he was a terrific player.
Yeah, and I think it's a shame because I think for all that potential was thrown down. Maybe there will be a way back. Maybe he rehabilitates.
I hope so too.
I think what we don't want to see is, like we saw with Lou Vincent, is a Lou Vincent type situation where he was banished for so long, wasn't even allowed to turn up at a cricket ground, and now has been welcomed back, and that has changed him as a person mentally. He had some mental, you know, as we know with Lou Vincent, the mental health challenges around that.
Oh, no, and 100%. And, you know, first and foremost, we see all the pictures out of Sydney and how he got arrested and taken into custody and all the media out. So, you know, that takes a toll on you mentally. And I hope, for sake, because I've interviewed him and I've met him plenty of times, and he is a terrific bloke. You know, I mean, he's a really nice guy, always willing to chat, always willing to give an interview, an honest insight. And, yeah, I just hope he's okay. You know, first and foremost, I hope he's all right, because, you know, at the end of the day, he's made a mistake. But I hope in some way, shape or form, whether it's through football or something else, he does have a second chance and can learn from what's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, World Championship rowing in the pairs. Ben Taylor and Oliver Welsh from the Avon Club in Christchurch win gold for New Zealand at the Rowing World Championships.
I think the competition's still rowing the way those blokes finished. Goodness me.
That was just brilliant.
I know, and, you know, a relatively new pair there as well. Fantastic result. Fantastic to watch. And it's shades of Hamish Bond and Eric Murray, isn't it? Coming back when you see competition like that. Really, really positive signs for those two especially. And, you know, you look at what's to come, and the Olympics, not too far away, but if you're posting results like that now and improve, the competition better watch out even more.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how our crews go in their own World Championships. But, you know, we're looking 3 years out from an Olympics, and that is a fantastic result. And, you know, obviously consistency, you know, they will be looking towards that before they go to Los Angeles. Then Razor Robinson names his All Blacks squad. Now, Scott Barrett, they've said, is injured. Everyone is speculating. Is he on the way out? I'm going to stick with the injury clause, because Razor being Razor, he sticks to guys he knows and he depends on. I look at that. Isn't it great to see Cam Roygaard back there? Isn't it great they're going to give Simon Parker? Isn't it great big Fabian Hollands back in there? I think he's been the real find of world rugby this year.
I'm all for that as well. Look, I think it's really important for guys like you just mentioned to get that game time in high pressure situations, because, I mean, you look towards the Rugby World Cup, right? That is the end goal. You want guys that are battle hardened, that have had experience in Eden Park Test matches, and especially when this team is under a lot of pressure. If they can perform and put one on the Aussies and just sort of ease everyone's minds in this country, I think that will go a long way for them to prove themselves that they are you know, capable to play high-pressure international footy, but also it holds them in good stead going forward. I think go back to Scott Barrett's injury, you know, and I have seen different things to suggest that he's being dropped, but they put the injury tag around it. I just think back to that Springboks match at Eden Park. If we go back to the start of that match before, you know, before what happened in Wellington, there was so much pressure on the All Blacks. You know, it was almost we'd conceded the Eden Park winning streak. But one of the biggest players who stood up in that match was Scott Barrett. You know, I thought he was fantastic. He was, you know, he played like what we know him for and how dominant he can be, especially at the breakdown. So, you know, to suggest that he's being dropped, I don't know. I think, you know, like, an injury would be correct. I think he would be playing. He is the All Black captain. You don't just drop the All Blacks captain cold. So, yeah, I still run with the injury tag and believe that's the case.
I'm running with it because I just can't see...
I can't see them dropping the All Black captain, honestly.
I cannot see them. I cannot see them actually dropping the All Black captain. Also,
no.
You know, I just look. I'm still a bit. It still raises a few questions. Well, we also look at. So we look at also the Ryder Cup. Now, I've just seen a great picture of President Trump and the rousing crowd around him. But this Europe 5.505 shots to USA at the end of day two, 2.5 shots. This is a brilliant tournament.
Oh, and earlier this year, I was fortunate enough to go to the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, one of the golf majors.
Oh.
And I tell you what, I've never been to a golf event before. Absolutely fantastic. The way that they do it was just incredible. We were there for the final Sunday, and Scotty Scheffler, he basically won it on the 16th. But the atmosphere, the crowd, with it also respecting golf traditions, it was absolutely fantastic. And I couldn't imagine what the Ryder Cup would be like, especially in America. You've just got the stars there. And I'd say to anyone listening that's a sports fan, that a golf tournament, major, PGA, whatever it is an absolutely fantastic event to go to. Lots of walking, but geez, you see some. You know, I'm a weekend hacker, put it that way, and you see these guys.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
Where were you playing the other day when I was trying to call you?
Oh, I was at Clark's Beach actually.
It's actually a good course.
Yeah, had a good front nine and just fell apart on the back nine. I think I was just. I saw the bar in the distance, and I got a bit excited. So
yeah, well, you might have seen a couple of my short little ex jockey who plays out there, who's still on the same handicap he's had for the last 20 years. won't mention your name, Kevin. Oh, sorry. Anyway, let's have a look. We've got some NRL, Melbourne Storm, too good for the Sharks, and of course, then we've got the Women's Rugby World Cup, Black Ferns versus France. Black Ferns need this win to probably give themselves confidence, and I think are really hoping for a Canadian win.
Yep, yes, I think so. Confidence wise, world rankings wise as well, the Black Ferns need to win, and I think they need it just to finish on a positive note. I think finishing fourth from where, you know, this was a team that was obviously capable to be in the final. But again, if you're not good on the day, you're not good at all. So, look, I really hope they can get up over France. They need to, like I said, world rankings wise, and to finish on a positive note. There's been plenty of positives in this team. Like I just think Georgia Miller was a big blow in that semi final. I think if she, you know, and I'm happy to say this, if she was there, I think the Black Ferns win. She is a player that can just change a game from anywhere on the park, from the breakdown and broken play, make something out of nothing. And that's what the Black Ferns needed in that semi-final. But, look, they've got another chance to finish the tournament on a high from where they are. And, it will go a long way for this team. And I guess taking at least one positive out of the campaign.
And of course, the big one, Broncos versus Panthers to play the Storm in the NRL Grand Final, AFL Grand Final. We better not forget about that.
Oh, yes, Snoop Dogg halftime show. I know you'll be watching that one, won't you?
Who's he?
He's Snoop Dogg. Very, you know.
Well, I'm an old man.
I think I heard your song on this radio station, actually. No, the AFL Grand Final, close to probably 100,000 at the G. Absolutely spectacular scenes from out of there. The way that they get behind the AFL is incredible. Broncos, Penrith, I think whoever wins that game wins the NRL. I watched that Storm Sharks game last night. But it just shows if you give the Storm an inch, they'll take it and make you pay. They were still very good. Jerome Hughes, geez, with that try with a broken arm fending off players. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Will Warbrook there too. I thought the Sharks played well, and I thought they could have won that game, but just poor mistakes at the wrong part of the field really, really let them down. But yeah, look, cracking weekend to come of footy.
Absolutely. Well, we'll call it there, Zion. You have a fantastic weekend, mate.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy the footy tonight, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. That was Zion Dale from One News. Next up, we have the big guy, Seamus Martin, talking a bit of football.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. South of the equator, navigator, gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. First of all, if you're looking to buy, if you're looking to sell, you know, here's the person you need to give a call to. Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson, Epsom Branch. Robert is professional. He is professional. He has a high ethical standards when it comes to selling or helping someone buy their property. He also is a bloody good bloke, and he's a big supporter of our show. So give Robert a call. His number is 021-737-949. I know that Seamus put this number down because if you want to catch up with Robert before the game, and or you can email them r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Well, here to join us as he joins us, Seamus Martin from Between Two Beds. We're going to talk a bit of football. Good morning, sir.
Morning. Yeah, it's an interesting atmosphere, isn't it? Just with the lead into that oval ball for a second,
yeah,
with this All Blacks Wallabies game this afternoon. I'm not sure which way I'm falling. My heart says All Blacks, but there's a little sneaky in the back of my mind that thinks maybe the Wallabies will get up on this one.
Ooh, that's a tough one to call. Anyway, we might as well kick it off. Our National League competition has started, proudly brought to you by Detail. So, yeah, and if Detail, if you're keen to do some sponsorship, give me a call afterwards. Anyway, we started off. We've got some cracking games on the Saturday. Started off with Miramar Rangers versus Auckland FC Reserves.
Yeah, I think Miramar Rangers will be too strong in this one. They, they impressive form in the Central League. Auckland FC Reserves, it'll be interesting to see who turns out and which team turns up, which players perhaps turn up for them. There might be a chance to fine-tune some of their first-team players who drop down and play for the reserve team. But I think the experience of Miramar Rangers at home should be enough to see them through against Auckland FC in the opening game.
And, of course, then we have the clash of the Uniteds, Auckland United versus Christchurch United. Ooh, I think Auckland may be just too good for Christchurch United.
Yeah, I'm finding this one difficult to pick. I'm actually going to sit on the fence and say this is a draw here between these two sides. Auckland United at home, I would suggest, would be the form side. Christchurch finished second in the Southern League, so they didn't win the league. Auckland United came close in the Chatham Cup final against Wellington Olympic. But, look, I'm going to sit on the fence and suggest this game finishes in a draw.
Then we have the Phoenix Reserve versus Wellington Olympic. Well, Wellington Olympic are the big favourites in this competition, as we said last week. I think Wellington Olympic, coached by Paul Eiffel, too good for the Phoenix Reserves.
Yeah, I think they start this National League series as the favourites, Wellington Olympic. They tucked the Chatham Cup away a couple of weeks ago in a with a win over Auckland United, and I think they start this Capital Derby as the favourites. They're the Central League champions, so they accounted for Wellington Phoenix reserves in the league, and I think they'll continue their winning ways. Although they did play against the Wellington Phoenix first team last weekend in the community day down in Wellington for the Wellington Phoenix, and the Phoenix A-League side running out 6-1 winners over Olympic. So perhaps not the warm-up that they were looking for, but I think in terms of a game against the reserves, Wellington Olympic win that one comfortably.
And then we go to Sunday, Western Springs versus Western Suburbs. All the Westerns, so we've got a big Westerns at Meola Road. I think Western Springs too good in this one, Seamus.
Yeah, I agree. In the battle of the Old West, I think Springs will defeat Western Suburbs out of Wellington. You know, Western Springs went close to winning the Northern League. It was only on the final day that they were pipped at the post by, well, actually, no, they did win the Northern League. I've got that round the wrong way. Western Springs, the Northern League champions, will be too strong for Western Suburbs in that one, especially at Seddon Fields, their home ground there as well.
Absolutely. So then we go to the final game, Coastal Spirit versus Birkenhead United. I think this one's a tough one to call because we don't know what Coastal Spirit are capable of.
Yeah, they're the Southern League champions, Coastal Spirit. I see they've made a signing right on deadline to Derek Tiku, quite a prolific striker from the Northern League who turned out for Bay Olympic the last two seasons. Look, this one for me is the match of the round on paper. I think Birkenhead United start as the favourites, but you're right, it's a little bit of an unknown quantity from Coastal Spirit. I've tipped Birkenhead United, but I wouldn't be surprised if Coastal get up and win that game. Good form in the Central League, but I'm just not sure how that Southern League, I should say, I'm just not sure how that Southern League form translates to National League. But who knows, they might have had a barnstorming couple of weeks, a little bit refreshed, and they came out the gates firing. But just based on my knowledge of the two teams, I suggest Birkenhead United win that game. And Auckland City FC are the team who have the bye with an extra team in the league this year with the arrival of Auckland FC reserves.
And then we move on to the women's, to the National Women's League. Papatoni versus West Coast Rangers and Auckland United versus Canterbury United. Well, we don't know much about the Central League side, so I'm going to back West Coast Rangers in this first one.
Yeah, I think the Northern League, Northern Region teams that have advanced through to the National League Women's will be the teams to watch out for, with the exception of Wellington United. So, look, I'm going to tip West Coast Rangers, who won the Northern Premier League, to beat Petone down in Wellington. I'm also going to pick Auckland United, who've really almost won everything except the Northern Premier League title. They also tucked away the Kate Shepherd Cup, don't forget, a little while ago. I think they'll be too strong for Canterbury United, who are one of the three regional federation selection sides. So Canterbury United, I don't think, are as strong as they used to be. A lot of the players that they have developed have gone on to professional women's football, so they don't have the same depth that they used to. And I think Auckland United have been a little bit active, actually. A lot of the Northern Premier League teams have been active in the transfer market, signing players as they're able to. And Auckland United have picked up a couple of good ones. So, look, I'm tipping the two Northern sides in those first two matches to win, West Coast Rangers and Auckland United.
And of course Sunday, Central Football versus Eastern Suburbs, Western Springs versus Wellington United, Southern United versus Wellington Phoenix Reserves.
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to stick to form with Eastern Suburbs over Central Football. I think that region itself it's just so big to be picking a selection side, into the logistical challenges of having everybody training at the same place. We're talking about Palmerston North all the way to the Hawke's Bay into Taranaki. It's a massive area and so difficult for them to pull together a really competitive side. So I just don't think Central Football will be up there. They struggled last year. I think they'll struggle again. I think Eastern Suburbs win that one comfortably. But in the battle between Western Springs and Wellington United, I'm tipping Wellington United. They've made some good moves in the transfer market, bolstered their squad. Amelia Abbott was with the Wellington Phoenix last year. She's going to be lining up for Wellington United. And they are the Central League champions. So I'm going to tip Wellington United there, perhaps to upset Western Springs away from home. And in that final game, again, I just see Southern United struggling, a regional selection team up against the Wellington Phoenix reserves, who are well-drilled, well-rehearsed. They were Kate Shepherd Cup beaten finalists, and I think they could go close to pushing everybody in the National League Women. So I'm going to keep an eye on the Wellington Phoenix reserves there.
Absolutely. And so we move on. Of course, the OFC Under 20s Women's Tournament. And of course, New Zealand proven how strong they are. And they had an easy 4-0 win against New Caledonia. A lot of teams have pulled out, but I just see them that I think they're going to qualify quite easily for this World Cup and probably win this women's tournament quite easily.
Yeah, look, recent history suggests that New Zealand haven't really been pushed. You know, in the under-17s, a little bit closer. I think Fiji is probably the team to watch here on the other side of the draw. The New Zealand team opening with a 7-0 win against the host Tahiti and a 4-0 win against New Caledonia yesterday. They're back in action on Monday New Zealand time with their final group stage match against Vanuatu, who are winless. That kicks off at 10 a.m. You can catch that on FIFA Plus. But yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward for this under 19 side to qualify for another Women's World Cup. But you can't count your chickens before they've hatched, and stranger things have happened over in the island. So look, I'm sure they'll be taking it one match at a time, beginning with that game against Vanuatu on Monday morning.
And then we have when the New Zealand men's under 20 side playing Chile tomorrow in the under 20s World Cup.
Yeah, they warmed up for that game with a 1-0 loss against South Korea before this competition kicks off tomorrow at 12. Should be a wonderful occasion up against the hosts, you know, at 12 p.m. tomorrow. Again, those matches on FIFA Plus and on TVNZ, I might add, as well. So you can catch that free-to-air. The second group game against Egypt and Japan will also be difficult challenges. So look for Chris Greenacre's side over there in Chile. They'll be wanting to try and get something out of this opening game, but look, against the host, backed by friends and family in the grandstand, it's going to be a difficult assignment. 13 or so players playing for Auckland FC and the Wellington Phoenix in and amongst their programs, and the other 8 in the squad based overseas. So plenty of experience to call on for Chris Greenacre's side. We've had a good recent history in the Under 20 World Cup of getting out of the group stage. So yeah, you know, Chris will be trying and hoping that side can fire, but the first match in any tournament is so crucial, and it's a difficult assignment up against the host Chile. But look, I'll be glued to that one at 12 o'clock tomorrow to see how the best of New Zealand's young talent can fare on the world stage.
Absolutely. So we go to the EPL weekend, and of course it starts off 11:30 tonight, Brentford versus Manchester United. And then, so on this one, I'm actually picking my beloved United, who've shown me such great faith over their winner Chelsea. See, I'm in love with United again until next week. So I'm picking a win for United here.
Yeah, I'm the same. They're sitting in 11th place. I think Man United defeat Brentford, who are hovering just above the relegation zone, and were one of my tips to be relegated out of the Premier League. So I think Man United continue their winning ways after that great result against Chelsea.
Okay, so we go to these three. We'll just do three games for the first one. Leeds United versus our big Bill, our sugar daddy's AFC Bournemouth, Chelsea versus Brighton, and Manchester City versus Burnley. Well, the last one I think is the easier one to pick. I think Manchester City just too good for Burnley, but the other two games, I think they're very hard to call.
Yeah, I agree. I think Man City comfortable over Burnley. Chelsea versus Brighton, I'm going to go with Chelsea to bounce back after that defeat for Manchester United at home. And Leeds-Bournemouth, well, you know, the Cherries are up in fourth place. They're flying at the moment. So on form, I would suggest Bournemouth will defeat Leeds away from home. But I can see that one maybe perhaps finishing in a draw. But I've put my neck on the line. I'm going to say Bournemouth, Chelsea and Man City, three winners in those three games.
Okay, so we go to the rest of the Sunday games. Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, Nottingham Forest versus Sunderland, Spurs versus Wolves. Now, the first one, I'm making a big call here. I'm backing Crystal Palace to beat your mob.
I don't think it's a big call at all, Eamon. They're the two undefeated teams. Crystal Palace haven't lost a game so far this season. They're sitting in fifth place. Liverpool are 5 from 5. But in recent history, I think Crystal Palace has been a little bit of a bogey team for Liverpool. So I can see that one going the way of the Eagles. But my heart, of course, says that Liverpool will make it 6 from 6. But I don't think that's a big call at all. I think that's a pretty fair suggestion that Crystal Palace could upset the league leaders. But I think personally, I'll go the other way. And Liverpool sitting in first place, good form, five wins from 5 matches. I think they'll make it 6 from 6 at the end of this weekend.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest versus Sunderland. Now, I've got some concerns here. I'm going to be very brutally honest here. I'm concerned for the planned future of Chris Wood at Nottingham Forest under Big Ange.
Unused sub midweek in Europe. It doesn't bode well for him, does it? I share that as well. And that's against the Sunderland side, who are flying in seventh, Nottingham Forest in 15th. I think we could see Chris Wood used sparingly, few and far between under Ange. I think you're right. I don't think he suits the playing style of an Ange Postecoglou. I think he was perfect for the previous manager, who's been given his marching orders from Nottingham Forest. So look, I'm the same as you. I wonder where the minutes are going to start to dry up for Chris Wood, which is the worst thing possible if you look at it from an All Whites perspective.
Well, leading into a World Cup year, yeah.
Exactly right. That you want him to be playing. You want him to be, you know, given the responsibility to lead the line for Nottingham Forest, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think they're going to defeat Sunderland as well. I think Sunderland are going to win that game.
Big call.
And put a bit of pressure on Ange Postecoglou early in his Nottingham Forest reign.
And Spurs versus Wolverhampton Wanderers, I think Thomas Frank is just going to, team's going to be too good for Wolves. Wolves probably really dicing with relegation.
Well, they're bottom of the table at the moment, only five rounds in, but they are sitting at the foot, propping up the English Premier League, and I agree. Tottenham Hotspur sitting in third place under Thomas Frank. They are flying under the new manager, and I think they will continue that winning way at home and put a bit more pressure on this Wolves side.
Yeah, they're not dancing with Wolves. They're dancing with relegation. Oh, I thought a bit of a pun, isn't it? Yeah, bad pun. Anyway, we move on to the Monday and Tuesday games. Aston Villa versus Fulham, Newcastle versus Arsenal, and, of course, Tuesday, Everton versus West Ham. Well, the first one, Villa, they're in trouble, and I'm picking a Fulham victory.
Yeah, they are in trouble. They're sitting in 18th in the relegation zone, Fulham up in 8th. I'm actually going to sit on the fence here and suggest this is a draw and maybe Aston Villa start to reverse their fortunes of the first five match days. So sit on the fence for me. In terms of Newcastle versus Arsenal, Arsenal in second place continuing to put pressure on Liverpool, the league leaders. I think Arsenal win that one against the Newcastle side that are struggling so far this season, down in 13th place. And look, my friends from West Ham, Hammer supporters, hang up the phone now.
Hey, I'll let you know. A friend of mine messaged me. And he is absolutely agreeing what you're saying now. Now the heat with some West Ham fans has they're more angry with their own team than they are with you. But I think Everton too good. That's where you're heading to.
That's exactly the conclusion I was going to make. Everton at their new stadium against the West Ham side, who are sitting one place above Wolves. Look, the form book doesn't lie, and I think Everton are going to be too strong for West Ham and start to move themselves. This is Everton in their case, who were unlucky against Liverpool in that Merseyside derby last weekend. But I think they'll start to march towards the European places and maybe have an eye on finishing very strongly this year and get themselves back into Europe. But for West Ham, I just see another weekend of misery for the Hammers fans.
I'd have to agree with you there. Anyway, mate, enjoy the game today. And unfortunately, I won't be able to catch up because I'm heading out to our country to a 70th birthday party. So I will catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Look, I'll do my best to enjoy the game, and you enjoy that series.
Yeah, and I'll just chat to you. I'll give you our sponsor's number. Okay.
Very good. All right.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. That was Seamus Martin. So next up, we'll just play a bit more music, and we'll get Gordon Bray on.
Yes, golden grand piano, my beauty focus EOU. Oh, you. I'd leave it all. My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Never make a change. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Oh, to you, ooh,
make a change.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Well, we always have, every month we have our opinion from across the ditch with the one and only, the great man himself, Gordon Bray. Good morning to you, Gordon, on this Benneslow Cup Eve. And of course, I believe you've been playing a bit of golf.
I have actually. I've had an interesting 48 hours in my Bledisloe Cup build-up, Eamon. On Thursday, I played in a corporate golf day for FMG Global. That's an Australian company that supplies 75% of McDonald's restaurants worldwide, can you believe, with Angus beef. And soon that'll be up to 85%. But I narrowly averted disaster, I've got to tell you. Ronald McDonald the Clown was on the eighth hole, just off to the left in the short rough, and I duck-hooked my 5-wood, and I hit Ronald McDonald's cart, his golf cart. I missed him by about 30 centimetres, so it was very embarrassing. But Ronald McDonald's house, wonderful charity, cares for sick and injured children and families around here in Australia. But at dinner, I have to tell you, I sat next to a guy called Phil Emery. Do you remember him? He was a wicketkeeper for New South Wales.
Yeah. He played a few games for Australia, didn't he?
He played a couple of games for Australia. He captained the Blues to a Sheffield Shield title when Mark Taylor was away. But the thing about him, do you know who his father was?
Who?
His father was Neville Emery, who was a pilot officer in the RAAF, flew a Lancaster bomber in World War II, and played fly half in Australia's win over the All Blacks at Eden Park in 1949. So I sat alongside him, and Neville Emery played number 10, and his halfback was Cyril Burke. So I thought that might be a nice little omen for the Wallabies.
Well, it will be, and of course you're also hosting a Bledisloe Cup luncheon. Were you in Brisbane?
I was. At the old Teachers North Club, I was keynote speaker up there. There were 300 guests. That club is now just known as North's, but they produced Laurie Lawrence, who came to New Zealand in 1964 as the understudy to the great Ken Catchpole. Legendary swim coach, as you know. I mean, he's coached so many world champions and Olympic gold medalists. Stephen Holland, Tracy Wickham, John Seaman, Duncan Armstrong. And he had that famous catch cry, "Stuff the silver, we're going for gold." some of the other players from the North Club, Teachers North, Greg Cornelson, he scored four tries
in 78, yep.
Yes. Chris Roach, who also played at Eden Park in 1982. The great Michael O'Connor.
Yes.
Chris Roach and Michael O'Connor, Eamon, were known as Null and Void. That was their nickname. Chris told to quickly tell you a story. Why were they null and void? He said, because we were bloody hopeless. They were duty boys for the Australian Barbarians team, and they were flying to Mount Isa. There were 18 players, but when it came to board the flight, they had only 17 tickets. They'd stuffed it up totally. The manager said, you're both suspended for this next match in Mount Isa. They thought that was fantastic because the temperature was 40 degrees, and when the Barbarians ran out on the field, they were in the tent drinking schooners of beer.
They weren't that silly, were they?
They weren't that silly. I was going to say we had a wonderful panel with Matt To'amua, who played, 17 matches against the All Blacks.
Yep.
He made the comment, Eamon, that he feels Australia with its 7, 8, 9 and 10. That's obviously McWright, Harry Williams. Now with Tate McDermott coming in and James O'Connor, he feels that's a very positive selection for the Australians. Chris Roach, he talked about the famous win at Wellington in 1982 when Australia led 19-3 at halftime running with the gale. I remember being up the top of the Millard Stand, which was swaying at the time, and somehow Australia held on in the second half for a famous win. And Rico Gear.
Yes.
The great Rico Gear. Obviously, he played for the Auckland Blues, but, you know, won...
And the Crusaders.
And the Super Rugby titles with the Crusaders, and he played 19 tests. He was a great try scorer. And he made the comment that he felt the All Blacks let the jersey down in the last game, and their attitude of staying in the contest against South Africa was not the right attitude. You've got to be out there to take the game by the throat. But he felt the big setback for New Zealand was not having Cody Taylor there, and he feels his return is going to make a huge difference. And I asked him for a prediction, and he said, well, look, I've got to say, I wouldn't be surprised if the All Blacks put 40 or 50 on the Wallabies.
Ooh.
He said, if the Australians win, it'll be close, but the All Blacks have that ability. So that put a bit of a shiver up my spine, and also it went around the room. But he said if the game was played in Wellington, he said Australia would, you know, they'd probably win. So that was very interesting to hear from Rico Gear.
Absolutely. And, yeah, just your feelings. I think this is going to be a cracking match, Gordon.
I do. I mean, James Slipper, his 150th test match. And I think Joe Smith has set the attack button here. They want to play the game at pace. They need quick front football. I think also Chris Roach made the point yesterday that Australia has to attack with their defence. And they really have to go to a place they've never been before. They have to go beyond that pain barrier and play every moment at a very high level, and you've got to maintain that right for the 80 minutes. So very interesting. I think also on that idea of attacking with your defence, we've seen in so many of these big games these defining tackles. I remember Topo Rodriguez on Hickory, who I used to call the unemployed nightclub bouncer, that tackle in 1986. 1986 at Eden Park, when the All Blacks threw the kitchen sink at the Wallabies. The last time we won there, but Topo pulled off a tackle on Hickory, I'm sure you remember it, and drove him back about 3 metres. And you thought, wow, the Wallabies aren't going to be beaten. So they're the little moments. Great clashes out there with Beauden Barrett, James O'Connor. I think the two halfbacks are very interesting as well. McDermott likes to play at pace. And Australia's got a back three, a speedy back three, but a couple of very little guys in Max Jorgensen and Corey Toole.
Yeah, they're so very exciting to watch. I think it's going to be a great match, Kelsey.
It's going to be wonderful.
You know.
And it's the youngsters that have led the way for Australia, Eamon, this year.
Yeah.
You know, with Wilson and McBride and McDermott and Jorgensen and Suoli'i, Angus Bell, Nick Frost. So I don't think they're taking a lot of baggage into this game, although it's been so long since we've won at Eden Park.
Wow, I'm just thinking, because, you know, you looked at the Bettislake Cup, it started in 1903, and just for some of our listeners, no, Gordon didn't call the first Bettislake Cup in 1903. Sorry about that.
That was the first test. The first Bettislake, I think, was 1931, I think.
31, okay, so you didn't call that, I'm only joking.
I didn't call that one. 1903, I don't know where I was then, I was in Gargoyle Land somewhere. Maybe...
With Tim Gavin.
Maybe I was a Kiwi, who knows?
But I look at it, I think it should be a great clash. And of course, the last time the Wallabies won at Eden Park would have been that side of Alan Jones's when they won 22-9 against an All Blacks team. And I still look at that match and I still think it was one of the most entertaining games of rugby I've ever seen.
Well, I think we were really surprised the way New Zealand, just as I say, threw everything at Australia in that first half. I was calling the game. I was sitting up there in the stand at Eden Park, up the top of the grandstand, and it was just amazing defence by Australia to hold them out. And then once they'd weathered the storm, they were able to come through. And, you know, you had the likes of Nick Barr-Jones, who I think delivered the final pass to David Campisi for that try. But that was a fabulous series in 1986. The first two tests were separated by a point. I remember in the second test in Dunedin, Derek Bevan disallowed an Australian try by Steve Tynan. Later, the All Black players even admitted he scored the try. But anyway, that's all history. So much fun.
I spoke to AJ Wheaton on that. He reckons he didn't. AJ reckoned he had his hand underneath the ball. But that's AJ just telling
a few
stories.
I've heard a lot of stories with that one. But anyway, it's all history. And it came down to the decider at Eden Park. And, of course, New Zealand turned it all around the following year in 87 with David Kirk leading them to the World Cup.
Anyway, while we're getting excited in Auckland and Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne, they don't give a two hoots because it's AFL Grand Final, the Geelong Cats versus the Brisbane Lions. Well over 100,000 people. Snoop Dogg's doing the halftime show. And I tell you something, you know, that is still a great, that is one of the most great days in Australian sports is the AFL Grand Final.
Well, some would say, and maybe you can't argue, it is the greatest day in Australian sport when you have 100,000 at the MCG. And Geelong and the Brisbane Lions, they're the two dominant teams. They have been over the last few years. I think Geelong has been in 15 of the last 22 preliminary finals. They're chasing their 11th flag. And they're a hot team, aren't they? They've won their past eight games in a row by at least 30 points. And they did beat the Lions in the first week of the finals. So that's going to be a fantastic contest. But the Lions are very resilient. People should not write them off. But I think certainly my money would be on Geelong. A couple of very interesting stats, Eamon. They lead the intercepts by a big distance. So intercepts in general play, the Lions are back in fifth in intercepts. And when you consider that two-thirds of scoring in Australian rules football happens from intercepts, that's a pretty significant statistic. And they also lead the league, the AFL league, in tackles inside their 50 metres. And, so I think the last 10 clashes between these two teams, it's 5-5. So it's a throw-up of a penny, and I think it's going to come down on the side of the Geelong Cats.
I think they're definitely the big favourites. And, of course, then we look at the other rugby. The other rugby code with two less, with no line-outs, no competed scrums and two less players. But Melbourne Storm, absolutely brilliant, led by Kiwi Jerome Hughes, who has basically got a broken arm, but playing on one arm, but just leading that Storm side. But then we got the Broncos versus the Panthers up in Brisbane, and that'll be huge. And you know what? Broncos have got the home advantage, but it's the Panthers. It's the Penrith Panthers. Who can beat them?
Well, that's right. I watched the game last night. Jerome Hughes, as you say, was fantastic. That individual try he scored, he's just a machine. He was poleax there in one tackle where I thought, he's got to be concussed. He had blood coming from his mouth. But Cameron Munster, Ryan Papenhuyzen, those guys were terrific last night. Coming to this game tomorrow between the Panthers and the Broncos are definitely going to target the left edge of the Panthers' defence because the Bulldogs scored four tries there last week. But you look at Ezra Mam, who's going to come off the bench, Adam Reynolds, also such a key player for them. Reece Walsh, sensational against the Raiders last week. But then you come back to the Panthers. My God. They won 46-26 against the Bulldogs last week. They're looking for a fifth consecutive title. Nathan Cleary, 18 points, which is a record for the club in the final. He's just the man who orchestrates everything. And there's even been talk that the Wallabies should get hold of him. But it's a replay of that miracle comeback game for the Panthers in the grand final in 2023, Eamon, when they played the Broncos.
I think this is going to be a cracking game. And, of course, the big news, probably interest to you, Mark Nagatawase is coming back to Rugby Union. He will be playing in France but will be available for the Wallabies for the World Cup in 2027.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting, isn't it, for the Wallabies? I think he'll probably go overseas once he finishes with this contract with the Roosters. But to have him coming back to the World Cup, certainly Australia's got a lot of talent, I think, in their outside backs. I mean, if you look at the back four, there's not a lot of experience there at the moment. You've got Jorgensen, you've got Harry Potter, Suoli'i, Corey Toole today. They've only got 35 tests between them. But what they do have there is some real football nous and speed, and that's what I love. I mean, a little player like Corey Toole had an off day against Argentina in that last test match, but he's probably the quickest man in Australian rugby, and there's a real belief in those guys. And to have Markey coming back from the Roosters, that's only got to be a big positive.
Well, Gordon, I really hope you enjoy the match today, and I hope, you know, you'll be at home relaxing, watching that game.
Yeah, I'm going to drive up. I'm in Sydney at the moment. I'm driving up to the coast to McMaster's Beach.
I'll be in front of
the television. But wow, what I can't wait for this weekend. We've got the I'll have one eye on the AFL Grand Final. We've got the Broncos playing tomorrow. We've got this wonderful Bledisloe Cup match this afternoon. I'll also be looking at the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
What amazing scenes there at the start of the Ryder Cup when President Trump arrived. I mean, how brave is that guy when we've seen all of this hatred over there and assassinations, and there he was amongst all of that crowd in New York. It's a city where he's not very well liked, but the crowd was chanting Donald Trump, and I thought that was a very brave performance by him. And he had his granddaughter, his 15-year-old granddaughter, by his side. So, you know, it's about keep fighting. That's the message for everyone, I think, over this weekend. And also, I'm looking forward to the Women's World Cup final between England and Canada.
Yes, and I'm hoping for a Canada victory. I think it will be marvellous for rugby. And I was just saying on Mr. Trump, he doesn't give if he's got the height of a rhinoceros, he doesn't care. I'm personally not a fan of his Gordon, but I have to say, you know, he's not one of these people about popularity competitions, because he believes what he's doing is right, which we can all have different opinions on, and I'll probably be accused of being woke, which I'm not, because any time you have a different opinion from someone else, oh, you're woke, or if you have a different opinion from the lefties, oh, you're just so right wing. People just don't get it in this world now, Gordon.
Yeah, well, I'm an unabashed fan, supporter of Donald Trump, and you only got to look and see what he's achieved in such a short space of time since he's been back. So I think there are a lot of positive signs, but it's such a shame that the country is so polarised. The hatred coming from the Democrat side is really a big concern, and it's stirring up so much unrest and violence, which is just a terrible thing.
Yeah, I think we will stick to the sport because we do not want to fall out because we're good mates, and plus we're good mates. So we may, but on this part, Gordon, enjoy your weekend. Always enjoy our chats. We may, maybe, depending on the result, have a chat next week.
All right, Eamon, we'll see how we go. Yeah, we'll be in Perth next week, won't we?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind being over there. It'd be great fun. Anyway, catch you later. Bye.
Okay, mate, bye.
Okay, that was Gordon Bray. Next up, we have the panel. It's each to their own, you know. The country is all I know. Okay, welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. On line one, the panel, the mouth of the South, Lee Piper. How are you, mate? Kia ora.
Well, thank you.
Good. Line two, the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield.
Hey, mate, how are you? G'day, Lee.
G'day.
Hello. Now, we've obviously, I don't want to kick off the show myself.
No. You haven't had a show in 5 years.
Highlight of the week.
Yeah, get on with it.
The highlight of the week.
Yeah, well,
I lead with the highlight of the week.
Well, I suppose I beat it. Well, I caught up with Mr. Piper during the week, and we had a rather we had a few funny coloured lemonades. Then we entered the quiz, known as Piggy Sharks, and we got a few young people. Thank goodness for them, or else we would have been at the bottom end. We won the quiz, but I'm not going to mention the bar's name. But the prize was $75, which wasn't a hell of a lot. And I would say
when you're paying the bar.
Yeah, you had to fork that bill out. Good luck. And I would have to say, when you play a quiz in good spirits, you need good reward. But, and Brent, if you're listening, you might get a wee call on this one. Anyway, Sean, how are you, mate?
Oh, I'm great. I'm slightly envious that you finally shouted someone a beer. And after 5 years...
Hang on. He was paying.
He didn't shout anything.
Oh my God! And your thing is, Eamon's heritage is completely Irish, but I'm thinking it's another Celtic race going on there, and I'm part Scottish too, so I'm not being casting aspersions.
Sean, what actually happened? He said, "Oh, do you like me to get that?" But you know when a bloke says, "I'll get you beer," but he doesn't really mean it. He's just
rubbish.
I better be seen to be saying something, but he didn't hold back when I said I'll pick it up. He said, "Oh, okay, well you get it then."
Yeah, I was willing to do that.
We needed the $75 bar tab. The bar tab ended up running away on us because we, as Eamon said, we bribed a couple of former broadcasters to come along and help us out. One of them, a guy named Joe, came from nowhere. What he didn't know, but the success was the two joke arounds. We won movie things 10 out of 10. Boom, that was right on my wheelbase. In sports, we got 9 out of 10, so we got 18. We really ran going away. We should go back next Wednesday.
Yeah, well,
No. So 9 out of 10 for sport. What? Tell me the question you missed out on.
And I got it wrong.
Yes. Who did the Black Caps beat in the semi-final of the 2020 World Cup? And there was quite a consensus for England, but it was the West Indies. I'm telling you, the West Indies.
I thought it was a Women's World Cup, but I didn't listen to it properly.
What does that tell you?
Well, no, because the noise level, there were so many people talking, I couldn't concentrate, you know me, Sean. I'm 11 out of 10 because I'm that good at sports quiz.
Mate, all I'll say is that Fraser could have used you to come up with some better excuses. You're on fire, mate.
Anyway, it didn't matter. We won, beat 16 teams, won the bar tab, won the glory, and was quite dusty the next day, Phil. It was a great night.
Yeah, I had a couple of meetings. Fortunately, were cancelled. I decided to work from home that day because it was a bit of a... Let's say it was easier to be in the comforts of home than to be in an air-conditioned office. Anyway, we're kicking off. Bettislope. All Blacks versus the Wallabies. This one's a crucial one. I know you're going tonight, Lee. I know you're going tonight, Sean. I think this one, Razor is under pressure. Lose, it's say goodbye. There's no way coming back. Starting off a few pipes.
Yeah, well, there's not been that rumour like there was potentially when Foster faced South Africa at Ellis Park, where it was obvious and it had been made pretty public that the New Zealand Rugby Union CEO and board had approached Scott Robertson to get his team together. And I think that was lost and gone. I think the ramifications of losing tonight would be big because you've lost that record against... firstly, you've lost the Eden Park record and secondly, you put the Bledisloe under massive threat. You've got to go to Perth next week and win it. Which will be a bit of a big ask. So I think, yes, I think you're right to say he is under pressure. I'm not sure it's under pressure and gone, but I think there would be some serious questions asked. Ironically, I think this is probably, arguably, his best side. He's got Caleb Clark back on the left wing. He's kept faith in Carter. He's Skip Faith and Billy Proctor, which I think is probably a good call. He's got Roy Gard back, and more importantly, I think he's got Cody Taylor back, and that, to me, is the key. You can see how wobbly our line-out was, albeit we were playing South Africa. He's brought Fabian Holland in, obviously, for the injured Scott Barrett, so he's got probably a better line-out option there. I think this is probably his best side, so if it doesn't go well and they lose, then, yeah, I think he will be under pressure.
Sean?
Yeah, I've been a little bit distracted yesterday, as you know. I mean, it's the Irish Dancing National Championship, so I was being a dancing dad. But I was at the gym this morning and I saw Tasman playing Southland, and Haveli looked bloody good. And I'm just left asking questions to myself about, especially in the midfield, because I don't think we have proper midfielders now, great distributors, players that create genuine doubt in defence, because teams, we're not going to run through teams anymore. So we've got to actually get the old school doubt thing. I'm with Mills after that last game, because we were in that at 60 minutes. He said, where is the pride? I've never seen an All Black team capitulate like that at the end. We normally finish stronger. And that there's something not, and that goes back to what I've harped on about here. I don't believe our players, subs that come on, are test players yet. I don't think 100%. They're upset. They haven't got it in their heads, because, and you know, France, that wasn't their best team, but they played like test players. And I think we've got a real issue there. I'm delighted to see Tupoloto in the reserves, because I think some old head, he may be, getting past it physically, but he's the head you need there to do that. Now, as for the result tonight, look, the All Blacks have got to win. If they trounce Australia, that does nothing for the All Blacks. I think it will help sort of fade away what happened a couple of weeks back, but it will not help. The only thing is if they win courageously, the Wallabies play brilliantly well and the All Blacks finish strongly, and then we can go, right, they're headed in the right direction. But the way I've heard Joe Smith talk this week, talking up the All Blacks, I'm actually genuinely thinking I think he's a master coach. And we saw what he did with Ireland. He's doing it with Australia now.
Yeah.
And there's a confidence there behind them.
Yep.
And I think we're in for one hell of a match. But, yeah, I worry that success at Eden Park against the Springboks flattered. And, you know, we need to take a reality check and realise that, teams, it's not about teams trying to just beat the All Blacks anymore. The All Blacks, it's about the All Blacks actually trying to win. We've got to have a sort of paradigm shift to how we view this, because I think we've got to lose our arrogance and realise that international rugby is super close now, and we don't actually have the livestock that we think we have. End of sermon. Go in peace.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think not having, I don't think it's Australia's best side. Having Skelton not there, I think, will hurt them. They need that size and that bulk. He's done very well, I think, Schmidt, to bring together it looks like he's kind of piecemealed it together, doesn't he? He's kind of dragging them from everywhere and kind of plugging holes here and plugging holes here. But he's done a superb job in it. And all he needs to talk about this week is belief. You know, who wouldn't, as a player at an international level, want to be part of, you know, breaking history? Like, that to me would be extremely motivating against the All Black side. That's definitely wobbly. So I think that makes for a juicy encounter, if you like.
A few years ago, I used to do the ground announcing music at Homestead Stadium or Rugby Park in Southland. And down the room from me was Lee Piper and Jamie calling the game, the Scream Team. And I was losing my shit, losing my brains with laughter, at the stuff they came out with. I look at this Aussie team, and Lee, you would love to call a team with a Harry Potter in it. Well, and some of the names that you could have fun with, like a Slipper and a Frost. I think that you've got to come off the bench and call this game, because you would have the best time.
Yeah, I'd probably be in front of the broadcasting standards complaints
facility. Again,
I think, to your point, though, I just want to go back to the point you made about the side, and I think you're completely correct. I think we lack, and this is why, you know, with the Fabian Holland decision, he's not a bench player.
No,
so,
he isn't.
So either start him or don't play him. He's never come off the bench in his life. He doesn't bring anything off the bench. What his strength is 60 to 80 minutes of grind.
Top tackler, doesn't miss tackles, makes the line out, hits the ruck. That's what we lack.
Hang on, Lee. Isn't that what a lock's supposed to do?
Correct. So put him back in there. What Tui Bolotu's going to bring is a big body. He's a big man. And so him coming on with 20 minutes to go, he is going to be impactful. If I was selecting the side and Scott Barrett was available, I'd probably bring someone like Tupu Vai off the bench. What we tend to do is we don't pick specialist bench players. See, I think Damien McKenzie's a specialist bench player. Quinn Tapai's not a specialist bench player. Quinn Tapai's only a value, same with Anton Leonard-Brown, is if their centre goes down early in the game, they're solid to bring on. What I'd be looking for on my bench, which is what South Africa now have mastered, is when you come on, what can you offer at this point in the game that we haven't done? So a Tavatava Nawai, a Lester Fananuku, like somebody that's a bit different, that's going to change the game. And that's what happened against South Africa a couple of weeks ago. We brought on so we were getting pumped, and then we brought on players that were the replica of the players that were getting pumped. There's just no point in that. It's a bit like, you know, shot or glory. And you were watching Tasman play South, and this morning when I was at the gym, I was watching the Ryder Cup, and that was equally as exciting, but it was the same kind of thing. You could see guys aggressively going for putts, guys changing the way that they were approaching things depending on the situation. That's not what we do. We just roll out the same old, and, you know, in that game against South Africa, we just roll players on and hope for something. That's not a strategy.
Hope's
not
a strategy, isn't it?
So I agree with you. I still don't believe that we've got that mix right. I'm pleased to see Tui Pelotu there because I think he will bring something. Even Peter Luaki may bring something, but we've got to bring players on that change what we are doing, which is what South Africa have done. We've looked at it. We've gone, yeah, we like that, but we're not going to do that. So
I don't want to be controversial here, so it's not intended to be that way, but injury has meant this question has answered itself. But can we go back to the fact that that your skipper needs to be the first player you would select?
Correct answer.
And that's all we've got this week.
Anyway, you've been casually controversial. I think Lee would know what I'm talking about here. Anyway, Sean, Liam Lawson, fifth in Azerbaijan. Max Verstappen, just brilliant. But for Liam Lawson, this result is basically means he is nearly there. He deserves to be there. I know he was disappointed not to get a podium, but, you know, I think this result goes well before he goes to Singapore, which is a track which he's performed well on.
Yeah, so this is the first step. It's only the first step, and he's got making up to do. He's had a rough few weeks before that, a tough start to the season, but he's come back from it. From what I can hear through the background is that he's been working hard with the team to let them set up the car how he likes it.
Yep.
He likes the car to be a bit more pointy, so the front has a bit more grip and the rear is prone to move a bit, whereas I think the setup Hadjer has is more neutral, which the car, when you turn, it might understeer, so it slips, the front wheels slip a little bit. So Liam likes a car that's a bit more lively, if that makes sense. So sort of like drives like the General Lee and Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Yep.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's what, and I think we're seeing that, so... and Liam can muscle a car around, so that's awesome. So he needs another couple like that, and he's doing great. But I love the way the story's written. Liam and Carlos Sainz, and they qualified 2 and 3, just mega. But that quali was just stunning. As for Max, super cool.
Yeah.
And the fact is, mate, it's his sixth pole of the year. He's somehow getting things out of this car that he shouldn't be able to. And remember, you know, there's 25 points for a win, so all it needs is a couple of, you know, DNFs from Oscar. And, you know, Max is right in the running, and you're on a, you know, track like Singapore, and we've seen how it can bite. So, you know, I think we're set for an absolute barnstorming finish. But for Liam, yeah, he's back on, he's doing great. Hey, look, if he stays in Racing Bulls next year, I think that's awesome. That'd be great for him.
I think so too.
Let Hadjer go to Red Bull. No doubt Hadjer's had the best driving this year. He's a special talent. That's all good.
Anyway, we move on to some netball, Lee. Yep, the Silver Ferns beat South Africa. I don't know what we've gained out of this series, apart from Grace Nowicki is just one of the best, is probably the best netball player in the world, and we really don't know where we're at with this team, who's going to be coaching it. There was an exclusive interview of Kate Wells with the CEO of New Zealand Netball, Jenny Wiley, on TVNZ Plus. I don't know. What have we gained out of this? We're always going to win, Lee.
Well, that was. I mean, you wouldn't describe that as a hard-hitting interview, would you? It was just like softball. So we gained nothing out of that exclusive interview. So that was nothing. Look, what we've gained is nothing, really. And what we've gained is that there is definitely clearly a player split, as I think I said last week, when Karen Berger comes out and says, and deliberately says, I hope that Nolene is proud of us, and I think that we are, a lot of the work she has done came out tonight in that first test. That's a deliberate statement. That's not a statement or a question that she was asked. That's a statement she decided to say, and she's the captain. As I think I've said before, you know, they've got a threat in the side that's good enough to win, probably even against Australia. They've got Nowicki. They've got a good midcourt with the likes of Maddie Gordon and Kate Heffernan and Kimmy Poy. And then at the back, they've got Kelly Jackson and Karen Berger. So they've got depth. And they've got some real experience in there. So even if no one was coaching them, they'd probably still go okay. But it's the off-the-court stuff that's really kicked in this week. And I forwarded you an article by Susan Hornbury from who wrote in the Post this week about the employment matters. And she is bang on. And you and I talked about this over a fizzy on Wednesday. The challenge is that I think they may be forced to reinstate it. They've run a process from an employment perspective that is completely shaky. You can't run an inquiry and then not tell the person that you're running the inquiry and then run the inquiry for 6 months, have no input from anybody, and then come up with a decision. That's like in court saying, we're charging you with first-degree murder. The prosecution has put on their case. There'll be no defence. Thanks. You're off to jail. That's effectively what they've done here. Now, in the way employment will go is that often in employment, if it's deemed to be very unfair, the employment court can reinstate the employee back in. So I can't see how there would be any other scenario here. If she's been treated poorly, my understanding of it is that initially they wanted to just suspend her or stand her down, and the rest of the coaching team said no. She goes, we go, which meant they had to bring everybody else in. I'm also under the understanding that when Yvette McCaws and jury said, I got a phone call 2 days ago, that's actually the truth. She had no idea that was coming. So in the review, if that was a likely outcome that the coach was going to be stood down, surely you think of plan B. I mean, we're talking about Scott Robertson going, if he does go, New Zealand Rugby will have a plan B. They will have scenarios. They will have thought about what happens. Clearly, Netball New Zealand had thought about nothing. This comes on the back of the fact that they've mucked up the broadcast deal, where players have had to take, in some cases, up to a 20% pay cut because the broadcasting deal got tanked. At a time when Australia are growing the game, at a time when our players are going over there, and at a time this week when Netball Australia announced a deal with broadcasters and sponsors where the Diamonds are going to get an increase of 40% because they've entered into a revenue share commercial model. One country's going one way and the other one is backing out so fast the other way, it's embarrassing. And someone's got to go. Now, my understanding is that the board and the CEO are pretty tight. So it's going to be very hard unless the CEO sees the writing on the wall and from a professional perspective thinks, this is not good for me and not good for my profile and not good for me getting future employment and I'm going to step down. I can't see how they're going to change and they're going to get buried. But just to summarise that, I think they've got no choice but to put Nolene unless they have some huge payout coming her way.
Which I don't think they've got the money. They don't have the money.
Well, they've got good reserves, but they would be chomping into quite a chunk of them. And I mean, clearly they've all lawyered up. That's now become public. This is going to be a mess.
Absolutely. Anyway, Ryder Cup, what's your feeling, boys? And I'll give you all 30 seconds starting from now. The Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, have you had a chance to have a look at it?
As I said, I've been a dance there, but bloody what an amazing start. Europe just hasn't started like that for ages. I love the fact that they're going around the course beforehand with the VR goggles and hearing the chants and the abuse from the US fans. I think this is bloody awesome. That Netflix full swing has just amped it up even more. And, you know, this is amazing because for years golf was just Tiger Woods. Now this is just everything. It's bloody magnificent.
Piper. Well,
yeah, Rahm was unbelievable today. Unbelievable for the Europeans. And he basically dragged them home. Tommy Fleetwood was incredible as well. In fact, the Europeans were a bit unlucky. They ended up halving it, but they had a putt from McIlroy on the 18th to win it and go even further ahead. And a 6-2 as opposed to a 5.5, 2.5 would have been a lot more brutal for the US. But it is absolute golfing theatre. No, it's golfing theatre. And the Europeans are dialed in and focused. And I think, you know, we don't really have a horse in the race, but you can't help but shout for Europe. But it was
exciting.
We are
Europe,
stuff,
let's be honest.
Yeah, let's shout for
Europe. Yeah, so it was good stuff, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I did see the Lee Piper impersonator come onto the course with many cheers.
Yes, well, that is Trump's crowd. No wonder he got cheered there. They're right in his wheelbase.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not going there. Myself and we had a very much a debate on the rights and wrongs on a sports show. So we won't go there. Guys, have a great weekend. November, there will be a do for our sponsors and our contributors.